Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Really is so much talent in this church. It's really fun to see and watch. Thank you, Kathy and Greg, for doing that. This week is one of my favorites whenever it comes to holidays, and I love holiday times. I know for some people holidays are awesome, for others it's not. It highlights maybe what is missing, and maybe some family dynamics that are tough. In spite of all of that, we got to stay kind of crossword. We got to stay cross-eyed and keep our focus on Jesus. And even if life hasn't always been something to be pumped and excited about, Jesus always is. And there always is reason for us to be thankful and to have thankful hearts. As we talk about Thanksgiving today, I really want to encourage us to think about how sometimes our perspective needs to pivot. And sometimes we need to look in a different direction. As a basketball coach, one of the most fundamental, early on, disciplines of dribbling a basketball is you got to stop at some point, and you need to have a pivot foot. One of the things that I love seeing is a guy who attacks the basket hard, does a two-foot jump stop, does a little head fake while everybody goes flying past him, and he's just kind of sitting there by himself, and then he scores. A jump stop and a pivot foot are almost a lost art today, especially with fourth graders. Man, is that impossible to teach. How do you teach a fourth grader to pivot without standing on their foot, crushing their toes, saying, do not move this foot for the rest of the season, ever, okay, please. And to pivot means I was going one way, and I'm going to pivot, and I'm going to go in a different direction. And I just want to maybe coach our mindsets a little bit today that possibly I've been thinking a certain way and it's only led to frustration. It's only led to negativity. It's only bred this dissatisfaction inside of my spirit. And I need to pivot my perspective because you only see what you're looking at. And if I need to fix my eyes on something else, hopefully it'll change the inner atmosphere of the man. And so, as we go through, circumstances may never change, but the way you see them definitely can. Y'all know two people can go through the exact same thing and see things two totally different ways. You can have very similar situations and yet walk out of there, one of them's dinged up and one of them's thriving. It's fascinating. And so I really want to help our perspective in a way that I believe will be life-giving. Corrie Ten Boom is one that I really love gaining perspective from this woman. She was born in the late 1800s, actually about the same time that we were building this church. Corrie Ten Boom was born in 1892, and this church was erected in 1891. She possibly could have worshipped in this sanctuary. She didn't, but it was possible. She's born in Amsterdam and near Harlem, and she is one that we look to many times as one who suffered greatly and yet came out on the other side of the experience with more joy in her heart. She lived with her mom and dad. She had three other siblings and also lived with three aunts. All lived in this above the clock watch factory, I guess, or store that her dad operated. Casper Watch Company, and they lived above this store. Fast forward to World War II, and now it's May 1940, and the Germans have invaded the Netherlands, and the Ten Booms had been helping Jews who had been hunted by the Nazis, and they are hiding out the Jewish people, and the Ten Booms were religious people, loved Jesus, and as they studied the Old Testament, they said, we believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, and if we can partner with the Jews, we can partner with Jesus. So So they start hiding Jews away. And Corey had a bedroom. And inside her bedroom, they built a false wall. And behind this false wall, they could hide 6 refugees. Before long, they were hiding them in the attic and in the upstairs and the downstairs and behind walls. They were hiding Jews everywhere, even though the police station was just a block and a half around the corner. They were willing to risk their lives in the midst of suffering to say, you know what, it's not about just that other people suffer. How can I jump in the mix of it and take in people that are going through hard times? It wasn't long before the Gestapo had kind of figured them out, and their refugee work was now they were being hunted for. Her sister, who really was a major player, Betsy, was a major player in helping with these refugees. As they were hiding these refugees, they would call it the hiding place. And Corey goes on to write a book later in her life, a couple of them, but one of them was called The Hiding Place. And one of it being the hiding place is the presence of Jesus. The other one literally is their house. On February 28th, 1944, a Dutch informant told the Nazis about the Ten Boom's work, and the Nazis arrested the entire Ten Boom family. They were sent to prison. Corey and Betsy were initially held in a solitary confinement. After 3 months, she was taken to her first hearing, and at trial, Ten Boom spoke about her work with the mentally disabled. The Nazi lieutenant scoffed because the Nazis had been killing mentally disabled individuals for years in accordance with their policies. They believed that those that had mental disabilities were less than. They were not full human. So they would just euthanize them. They would kill them because they were lesser. Ten Boom believed that they were actually even more special in the eyes of God. The mentally disabled person, she said, might be even more valuable than a watchmaker or you, a lieutenant. How she pivoted her perspective. Corey Ten Boom said this, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." And sometimes the more you get squeezed, the more you realize there's only a little bit that I actually need. Whenever everything else kind of gets marginalized, you get really specific and focused on what ultimately matters. Perhaps 2020 has taken some stuff from you. Perhaps 2020 has kind of boiled it all down to what really matters. Who knows what this last year has looked like? I hope that it's brought you to the place of, you know what I need most? I need Christ, because Christ is all I have. Corey was then sent to a concentration camp and finally to a woman's labor camp in Germany. There they held worship services after the hard days of work by using the Bibles that they managed to smuggle in. If you're heading off to a concentration camp, you do everything you can to smuggle a piece of life in with you. And here she is, willing to risk her life for the spiritual health of all of those around her. So they would work all day long until they're depleted, and they pull it back together for Bible studies at night. Here was a woman that refused to be detoured no matter the hardship around her. She doubled down on a focus that ultimately mattered. And I want to encourage you, what are the things that would shift your focus where the enemy would come in and intentionally rip you off, where he would rob you of your call, where he would deter your joy and your strength? He would deplete you completely. And instead of turning to Jesus, we turn to frustration, resentment, ultimately probably regret that we didn't seize the season that he put us in. Corey was not going to live with any regret. During this time, Betsy's health continued to deteriorate, and she died on December 16th, 1944, at the age of 59. Before she died, she told Corey, she said this, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." 12 days later, Corey was released. However, here's the crazy God thing about this, is Corey was released because of a clerical error, and later that week, all of the women in her group were sent to the gas chambers. As they're heading off, a clerical error dismisses Corey. And by the grace of God, I just wonder, if not that it's just random chance or luck, but it's one who is so hidden, taking pleasure in the glory of God, finding pleasure in his presence. If there's not just grace extended, if there's not just a thing where God opens doors that no man can shut, he closes doors that no man can open, he does supernatural things for his beloved, I just can't help but believe. Years later, Corey returned to Germany and met with and forgave two of the Germans who had been employed to torture the Jews, one who had been particularly cruel to Betsy, her sister. And Corey goes up to the lieutenant and forgives them. How do we pivot a perspective that says, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering, I don't repay evil for evil. I repay evil with good. And I repay torture with forgiveness. How does that work? How do you have a perspective like that? Corey said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You know, whenever we move into places of worry, what we do is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we'll add that load on today. Are y'all with me? And then I'm carrying 2 days at once, and my strength is completely depleted. Can we go to a place where we can gain a little bit more altitude in God, where we say, you know what, I'm going to prop my ladder up a little bit higher, that where it's anchored in something much more solid than just propping it up on people's behaviors, which will let me down. I'm going to prop my joy up on people, you know, treating me nice, which they never will, and I'll be discouraged. I'm going to prop up, what is my joy being propped up on? And when our joy is propped up on things that are so unstable, like people, like this year, like health, like elections, like anything that is shaky, I believe that we're setting ourselves up for grave disappointment. And she goes to a higher place where she says, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to have my hope in something much bigger. She also said this, hold everything in your hands lightly. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries your fingers open. We got to live open-handed, right? God, I live like this. My family is yours. My job is yours. My finances are yours. My life is yours. My call is yours. You want to pivot? You want to take me in a different direction? It's yours. I can't say, this is mine. This is my money. This is my family. This is my ego. This is my church. This is my community, whatever, right? Where it becomes so much more about me. She says, God, this is your life. You want to send me to the gas chambers? Let's go. I'm going to lead people to Jesus. You want to send me to a concentration camp? Let's go. Can I bring my Bible with me? Because I'm going to show people who you are. When we allow worry to exit and the peace of God to reign, life gets really good. Say that again. When you can have worry exit and peace to reign, life gets really good. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, without a vision, the people perish. And I want to encourage us with this, to have a vision for your life, for your family, for the people that you're doing life with, and that vision should be something bigger than only, I guess, the current task of the day. For example, our family, we have a vision of adventure in all things. It's an adventure in all things. Yesterday, we went to pick out a Christmas tree. The kids found a mud puddle. They're dressed like in nice Christmas clothes and, you know, outfits, and they come out of this thing, boots covered in mud, jeans, you know, whatever, and you better pivot quickly, because if the goal is a Christmas tree and a Christmas picture, the goal just got hijacked, and the move next is frustration. Everybody gets spankings, everybody's grounded until you're married, whatever, right, stuff like that. And so if you don't pivot to, wait, whoa, the family goal is adventure in all things. We're doing it right now. They just accomplished the adventure. Come on awesome? Ronnie comes over. So here's her boot, and then 2 inches lined outside of her boot is just mud all the way up to her boot. And she goes, Dad, I got mud on my boots, but I think it was totally worth it. I go, it was totally worth it. Are you kidding me? That was worth it. We're high-fiving, and, you know, it ruined the pictures. Thank God for, like, good editing equipment. Afterwards, you can just edit all that stuff out. You know, you can wash your clothes through good Photoshop. But here's the deal, is what is the ultimate goal? And it's to glorify God in all things. It's to have joy in every situation. It's to bring life no matter what's going on. It's in the midst of some hard conversations, how can I bring life and blessing, right? Because there's a lot of things that want to hijack the joy and feed frustration. I'm just not going to make that move. I'm going to pivot and go in a different direction. I got to pivot my perspective quickly because otherwise everything can be frustrating. And whenever we live life as professional critics, I see this is a weakness, this weakness, this is a bummer, and I see all of everybody's flaws, life gets to be very frustrating. Because now every person around you is not somebody that can add to your life. Everybody's ripping you off. Everybody's a bummer. Everybody's a disappointment. And so I want to encourage you, have a vision, because without a vision, you perish in mud puddles. You do. Your joy perishes. You perish. We go out to eat afterwards. As soon as we sit down, guess what Nora does? Dumps her Sprite all over. All over, ice everywhere. I'm like, Nora, are you okay? Yeah. That was kind of cool, huh? Yeah. Now get on the floor and help me pick up all the ice. All right, here we go. And immediately the whole moment could have been hijacked. It's like, no. You're 5. You spilled it. Are you good? Let's move on. And I'll tell you, if we don't make these pivots quickly, the enemy will feed every single little bitty moment because people are frustrating. And I want to help your heart move to a place that, you know what, I'm so grateful that I'm able to come here with my family. I'm so grateful that I'm able to sit in this place and have this dinner with my family. I'm so thankful that I get to go out and get a Christmas tree. I'm so grateful. The other day, this was probably a couple weeks ago, we actually did like legit family pictures. And so we're standing out there, and it's hilarious because when you're married to a photographer, that's just hilarious, taking family pictures. And so she sets it up, and we're out at my grandparents', and there's the woods, and it's the setting, and it's all beautiful, and the sun is setting, it's gorgeous, right? Everything's like gold lit up everywhere. And so Alyssa sets up the tripod, gets everybody, and so I'm like standing here posed. And she's going to like run in and give like a 10-second delay. And then as soon as she does, she goes, okay, now nobody move. And then she runs back. And she gets, oh, okay, Nora, your eyes were closed. All right. And then she runs back. And they're like, oh, Ronnie, your bow was out of place. And then she runs back. And then and she's just hustling back and forth. She does this for probably 15 minutes. She's out of breath. And finally, she's like, get a picture. And it's so funny. It's funny. And so she's like exhausted in the midst of this. In the midst of everything being a bummer and being frustrating, I tell her, I said, can you imagine your brother taking family pictures right now? And you don't have Elise to fix her bow? Oh! I'll take a messed up bow every time. When you pivot your perspective, God, I'm grateful for a messed up bow in this picture that's sitting on the head of my daughter, that's in my arms, that's still here. People, if you don't fight for a life-giving perspective, everything's a bummer. And until you put it into, you know what, you're not in a concentration camp. You're not stashing Jews away in your attic. You're bummed because the lighting was off. Or because his shirt was untucked. You missed it. You missed it. And all of a sudden, perspective hits our spirit. And the kids, they're annoyed also with perfection. And they're just like, we're over it. And so Ronnie takes off, and she is running down this meadow at sunset. I'm like, capture that image. That's the family image I want. Capture the image of me in tears, gazing upon my daughter, drinking her in. That's the picture I want. Let's stop the posing and let's start playing. Let's capture that family memory. Because whenever it all appeals to the higher goal of every moment is an adventure, this is an adventure. So catch us running through the meadow. We got to shift perspective, and I want to encourage you that your vision for your family should be much bigger than seeing all the bummers. Your vision needs to gain so much more altitude. It's got to be way higher than that, to where you say, you know what, here's where it's at. We got to play for something bigger. If you're playing for all the frustrations, you're playing way too small. And to go about life seeing everyone's flaws and all the frustrations, if that's your strategy, that's a losing strategy. That's how you're going to get through life. You're going to lose. That way you lose relationship with your kids, you lose relationship with your spouse, you lose relationship with your community. Choosing joy in the midst of the crazy chaos is how you can soar on eagle's wings. And you can fly so much higher than all of the bummers underneath. This weekend I was hunting. And how I hunt is usually I go and sit in the woods and then I go home. I don't see a thing. And nothing changed this time. I sat out there for 8 hours and journaled and wrote. And a mom on our basketball team, our high school basketball team, shoots me a text. And she said, "Kid X is going through it. And he's struggling. And he feels so depleted. And his confidence is lacking. And we just started the season. We just had our first scrimmage yesterday. And he's sucking wind here." And in the midst of this, she just reaches out. His confidence is rattled, and his joy is shaken. And when your confidence is rattled and your joy is shaken, you just don't put your heart all the way into it. How many of y'all love to do stuff that you're not confident in and you have no fun doing? So when confidence gets rattled and you just don't know who you are because you lose some identity, and you no longer have fun in doing it, man, forget this. Why do I want to do this? And so she reaches out. She says, "Do you have some scriptures that I could just read to my son to try to get him through?" This was my text back. "I hate hearing this, too. I've found in my own life that discouragement sets in when I work so hard at something, yet do not see the desired results. The two things that I always have to come back to is, number one, identity in Jesus. And number two, gratitude. Knowing that I'm made by God, that he loves me, is ferociously faithful and completely committed to me. He has made me unique and placed very special gifts on my life, which then move me to gratitude. My life on its worst day is better than 90% of all other humans. I can't go to a weird place emotionally, lose my joy, think I got ripped off in life somehow. Then I have to do is some self-coaching. Goodness, Brock, your life is amazing. Be grateful. Don't waste one moment crying about it. Sometimes I even look in the mirror and smack myself in the face. Perspective, you get back here." We all need a perspective pivot. And if your perspective is constantly looking at marriage is a bummer and it's her fault, it's his fault. Life is a bummer because, can we pivot and say, "God, even though life is hard, will you show me to mine the good out of it in the midst? Even though life is hard, I live in America and I'm already in the top 10%. Even though life has been hard, God, you have been faithful to get me through, because if you're hearing my words today, you've gotten through one more day. Can we find anything to mine out of the hardships?" And then we move that into a place of worship. God, yes, you're faithful. Even though I have a little, God, you've been faithful to provide the little. He's good, and he gives us all good things. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell you of all of your wonderful deeds." Sometimes, whenever it feels like life has closed the door, God still opens a window. Sometimes there seems like there's doors that are closed in life. You ever feel like, man, this door just got slammed and life. And I want to encourage you, look for the window. Whenever Alyssa and I, y'all remember 2009 when the economy was really rough? And we had a downturn. In 2009, I'm a youth pastor at another church. I'm making $19,000 a year, just raking it in. Didn't know what to do with it. I mean, rocking that 1991 Chevy Cavalier two-door four-banger. Oh! 0 to 60 in about a week and a half. So Alyssa and I, so we took a 10% pay cut. And then we went a few more months, and then we took another 10% pay cut. That, the calling, the door was closing financially. So you can blame, or you can pivot. So guess what I did? I took two jobs mowing lawns, working for kids in our youth group. Signed up for like humility, okay? Hey, 14-year-old who's got it going on more than I do, can I mow lawns for you? Yeah, hey, here's like $8. Go mow that lawn. Thank you. And I'm not kidding. Thank you. I need that $8. Worked for another guy. So one was George Slater, one was Mike Arnold. Mike continued to skyrocket his business. It's called Creekside in Northwest Indiana. It's amazing. Check it out. But I'm working for him. Alyssa, she starts working at our apartment complex just so that they'll give us a discount on our rent. Then she shows up to Maryville. She says, Maryville High School, what can I do to make to utilize the gifts and the talents that God has put upon me to deploy my gifts in service to others that then will reap financial benefit? So she said, I can teach private music lessons. So she goes to Maryville High School, knocks on the orchestra door. Hi, this is who I am. Can I serve in any way? They said, yes, we'll open up our orchestra class. Kids can exit the class, have private music lessons with you, and come right back. She can knock all these students out during the school day. Then she goes to the church and says, hey, she offers church lessons to piano and violin and guitar and voice and all these things. Before, like overnight, in a moment, she's got 64 students taking private music lessons. You go from a bummer to a blessing real quick with a pivot. Let me tell you something. You can blame or you can choose to pivot. You can say, well, that door closed, or you can say, how can I get better? What, God, what is there? Let's get innovative. And in the biggest downturn was probably the place where we were making more money. It's unbelievable. And I just want to encourage you, don't succumb to the situation. Don't get so heavy by the season. Figure it out. God, what are you doing? I'll tell you, this season, that March, April, May, June time, whenever they closed school down, it was tricky. All of a sudden, everyone is homeschool parents overnight. And you didn't sign up to be a homeschool parent, but now you are. You got to figure it out. And my perspective pivoted real quick, and I was like, God, when am I ever going to get a time back with my kids at this age in this season of their life ever? Where they're going to be in my home every day. I'm going to be reading to them every night. I'm going to be going over math and homework. Oh, my gosh, this is cool. Sometimes it's hard, but sometimes it's really cool. And pivoted quickly. And I'll tell you, it truly was one of the best seasons. I want to tell you, whatever you're going through, there's a pivot. God is not confused. God is a genius. He's got 100 different ways for this thing to work out. Just lean in. He's brilliant. He never runs out of options. He's never depleted of opportunity. He always has a way. He always has our best in mind. And I want to encourage you, what are the things that maybe are going good in your life that we just haven't really seen for what they are that we could be grateful for? Where do you need to pivot? Where does your family vision need to gain altitude? Where it's not about circumstances, but it's about something much higher. It's about our kids' hearts. It's about our spouse's heart. It's about joy in the journey, not just the destination. It's about the mud puddle. It's about perspective. It's about adventure. What are the circumstances that steal your focus from being locked in on gratitude and it moves you to frustration? Where have you given the enemy access to move the needle of your emotional life? These are good questions. And it audits the inner atmosphere. Man, my heart should be in such a place of worship. This happened just last night. We get the tree home. Man, didn't this just happen last night? Get the tree home. And Judah's dribbling the basketball. Ronnie's doing something. Nora, She doesn't even have a clue what she's doing. And Judah shoots it. It bounces off. It hits, you know, whatever. Nora's crying. The tree won't fit in the stand. Whatever. Everything's going wrong. You know, this is supposed to be like this Hallmark night. And it's just, you know, not. It's Hallmark from hell is what it was. And I'm underneath the tree. I'm covered in, like, syrup, you know, whatever's going on. Needles. Yeah. Sap. I was about to say maple syrup. And I thought, that's not a maple tree. I don't think it was a maple. Who knows? Could have been. I don't know. It's an awful lot of money for a maple, though. And I get up, and I just go, hey! And whew, all eyes on me. And immediately, Coach Meyer has to coach the team. Hey, guys, it's all about the family right now. It's not about you. As an I almost went like Coach Mo. Hey, it's all about the program. We need to get together. It's all about the program. We need to, you know, defend one another. We're all on the same team here. It's not about the name on the back. It's the name on the front, whatever. You know, we kind of did all that. You know, the kids are just rolling their eyes. But I was like, guys, we need to lock in on a family vision right now. And we want to bring life to each other. And let's rally around a thing. And whenever there's something that's just so frustrating, it's just getting at you. It's just getting at you. That's the enemy's playground. And whenever you give into that, you're partnering with the enemy. You're emotionally coming into agreement with him, saying, yeah, this is the way we should respond. And I want to encourage us, let's partner with the Prince of Peace, the one who never runs out of joy, the one who always has a better vision. And with a vision, it'll bring life. Without a vision, you will perish. And so, family, I want to encourage us. Let's have a vision of correct perspective that God is good in the midst of all things and that I need to set my focus upon him. We got a lot to be thankful for. Life is good. Even if it's hard, life is still good. And let's mine the gold out of it. Will you all stand with me as we close in prayer? I do want to wish our church family a happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you have a great holiday, whether it's by yourself, with some family, some friends, and that we always would be mindful to worship God in the midst of all things. Jesus, we do thank you. We do have just an attitude focused on what we're thankful for, namely you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that in the midst of frustrating times, that you would come in and be the Prince of Peace. God, I ask you that we would partner our emotional life with you. Jesus, I ask you that we would come into a place where we would just say no to the enemy. Enemy, I know you're sneaky. I know you're trying to sneak in on my family here, and I will not allow it. You got to guard your heart above all things. From it flow all the issues of life. So I just guard my heart with the gatekeeper of joy. I guard my heart with a gatekeeper of perspective. And Lord, I pray that through this you would bring so much life to our church family. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.